What happens when the government takes over a foreign-owned company?
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money Podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Imagine it's 1999 and you're a Spanish energy company, a huge Spanish energy company with operations all over the world. We'll call you Repsol. All of a sudden, a big country with lots of oil, Argentina, has a total financial collapse. You get a deal on their oil company called YPF, and everybody's happy. Until April of 2012, when Argentina decides it wants its company back and its president announces plans to just take it, nationalize it. That's what happened yesterday, and the BBC's Tom Burridge joins us now from Madrid to explain. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, it seems kind of drastic to just nationalize a big foreign-owned company. Why is Argentina thinking about doing this?
Well, Argentina essentially says this is about its sovereignty, that it's paying a lot of money for its energy costs from importing it from elsewhere. And essentially, it wants YPF, that was a national Argentinian company about 10 years ago, to become one again, and it to control the assets of that company rather than it be controlled by Repsol, which is a big Spanish energy company.
And I imagine that this whole thing is not going down very well in Spain.
It's gone down like a lead balloon. I mean, essentially, this has been brewing for the last few days, weeks. I mean, on Friday, for example, Spain put clear warnings out to Argentina, really saying, don't you dare. So I think, in a way, Madrid has been caught by surprise to a certain extent when Cristina Fernández de Kirchner, the Argentinian president, made this announcement yesterday. I mean, Spain's rhetoric so far has been as hostile as they come. The foreign minister here, the Secretary of State, if you like, has been saying that this is a hostile act against Spain and the Spanish people, and has promised reprisals, clear and forceful measures, he says.
Well, and I've seen some of the analysts who've talked about this have said, okay, maybe Argentina would win in the short run, but they would create a business climate that no international company would ever want to invest in.
That's right. That's the danger, I think, for Argentina. Argentina and Spain, before this row began to brew, were strong trading partners, political friends. Relations have turned suddenly very, very icy. And if you look at it from a business perspective, what will this say to foreign investors? Are some foreign investors going to look at Argentina, see what they've done with YPF, and actually think, oh, should I invest in Argentina in the future? That's the danger.
Finally, Tom, you know, this is the first time we've talked to you in a while, and it hasn't had to do with the European debt crisis and the problems that Spain is facing right now. I imagine that a situation like this, if a big part of their company gets taken over by Argentina, that wouldn't help Spain's crisis at all.
That's right. YPF being nationalized by Argentina hurts Repsol. Repsol is a big, big, big Spanish company. Spain's economy is really struggling in terms of unemployment, in terms of growth. This is not the kind of issue that Spain's government would want at any time, let alone now.
The BBC's Tom Burridge in Madrid. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in global trading this morning, down slightly across Asia, but up across Europe right now, up 0.8% in London and more than 1% right now in Frankfurt and Paris. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 71 points to close at 12,921, but Apple shares fell 4% in what's being called profit-taking, which probably makes sense after the stock's 43% rise this year.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf. Online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
It's tax day, so if you haven't filed yet, you might be trying to figure out the difference between line 42A and 42B or whatever on your tax form. Well, get ready for another potential rule. It's creating some trouble already down on the Mexican border. From KUT in Austin, Texas, Nathan Bernier reports.
The IRS is trying to hunt down tax evaders. In order to do this, they created a deal with other countries. They'll track down information on U.S. banks, and the IRS will get information from banks in other countries. But here's the problem.
As you may know, Mexico is undergoing a period of unfortunate political instability, and a significant number of those clients are concerned about information being shared by the Internal Revenue Service with Mexico's tax authority that could be placed into the wrong hands.
That's John Dorsey. He's a tax attorney in Austin, and his client list includes many wealthy Mexican citizens. By the wrong hands, he means the drug cartels.
The real risk in Mexico is kidnapping and security.
Some Mexican nationals are already pulling out their money, and that scares banks, according to John Heasley with the Texas Bankers Association. His informal survey suggests Texas banks hold at least $20 billion in deposits from foreigners, and most of that comes from Mexico.
Many banks have 40, 50, 60, 70% of their deposits. Obviously, it is more extensive in places like Laredo and San Antonio. If that kind of capital leaves, it could cause a liquidity crisis.
Opponents of the proposed rule have some powerful political allies, including Florida Senator Marco Rubio and both senators here in Texas, John Cornyn and Kay Bailey Hutchison. But others say the banks are just trying to scare people.
I think their claims are greatly exaggerated.
Rebecca Wilkins is with Citizens for Tax Justice, a nonprofit that helps low and middle income families. She thinks depositors have nothing to fear from regulations as long as their money is legitimate.
I think those are depositors who are hiding their money and not paying taxes on it in their home country. And I wonder, do we really want to protect a bank whose primary business is facilitating tax evasion?
The IRS will not comment on the rule and won't say when it could take effect. But either way, banks will not have to start reporting interest paid to foreigners anytime before January 1st. In Austin, I'm Nathan Bernier for Marketplace.
And finally, some advice to get the best possible coffee. Make the coffee yourself. Don't buy pre-ground coffee. Use a Bodum French press to bring out the oil, flavor, and essence of your coffee blend. When you've made your coffee, immediately put it in a thermos and drink it within an hour or two. That advice, by the way, comes from an interview in Bloomberg Businessweek magazine with Howard Schultz, the CEO of Starbucks. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.